The Traumedy Podcast, Halloween Edition. Welcome back.
Blousy October. And welcome back to another Traumedy Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Kenneth Allen welcoming you back to the show. Let me tell you something. This Halloween is full of frear and frays and also scary things all around the corner. I don't think I've ever literally been this afraid on Halloween. Many things are brewing. Over here in our new studios in Woodacre, California, Unitets Incorporated, we are sitting in the middle of a rainstorm that's washing away reality. All things have disappeared. It's kind of primordial. In the redwoods and ferns here, and the mist comes through and gives you a feeling of King Arthur's knights. But then it also washes away and you feel dinosaurs lurking. It's primordial. And that's where we went this year. We're going back and into the mines to bring you some frightening tales. Now, I want you to all remember, if you like this, please pass it on to Stitcher. Go to iTunes. Find it on the internet at www.traumedypodcast.com and tell your friends. Let's see. More to come very shortly. I will have some new things coming up in the future here. I will have some things coming up. I promise. But for now, sit back and take in some interesting stories. One of them is really heartwarming and scary in its own right. And the other one is a little scary because I feel like it's actually happening. Actually, they're both are really happening. But I feel like one of them I can control and the other one I can't. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hey, big guy. Where have you been? It's been a long time, it seems. I could have used you the other day. I was having bad dreams. You know, I don't like to think about that kind of stuff because I think it pollutes your head and gets you thinking negative, but man, it seems so real. It was cancer in my brain. It was in the middle of my head, and it was feeding off of me like some troll or goblin on top of a cow. And I was just this bovine stupidity, and this thing growing like a knot in my skull. You know, my whole life I dedicated to helping people, running into buildings, showing up at car accidents, cutting people out, saving them, just like you did, just like Dad did. And then karma comes and gives me a big malignant kick in the head. I don't get it. Hey, God, it was just a dream. It's got to be the smoke from the fires. There's no other explanation. That plastic shit you don't have to deal with when you were in. It smells like cancer. It's artificial and caustic. And it's like when you bite down on tinfoil hard, that's the smell of it after the fires when you're just seeing these little trails of smoke. And it just worms its way in every single time. And you're laughing and joking and it's worming. I could feel it. And I could see the cells in my head like a field. Well, like poppies. But more like the inside of a fig when you split it. And everything are these little spermatozoa-looking things that just undulate. But they're all sick and slick and mucousy and blackening. And I could see smoke billowing across it like an evil wind. Cancer clouds. And I just start thinking about it abstractly, which is freaky because you can lay in bed and not be afraid, but scientifically think about each cell inside your head. Kind of like Freud when he was high on cocaine and morphine in the throes of his last bits of throat cancer and writing dissertations about the wonders of narcotics. Which isn't so bad to read, actually, because anybody who's drug-fueled, at least, is burning hot. And they don't go too long, but they sure leave a hell of a wake when they leave. I was thinking, boy, sorry, the pain meds aren't bad. They're not bad. I was just thinking, he touted what he touted. He'd take the cocaine and then write about it. It would have been funny if I had said it before. It would have been funnier if I was on that, because you think a lot faster. I've seen Chevy Chase movies before and after cocaine. And anyway, Grant, I don't know. Do you remember it was in Caddyshack? So anyway, I was just thinking, thank God it's the dream. Thank God it was just something. The pain meds, I got to say, they are good. These things are, it just... They kind of take away that pain, you know. After the surgery, there was this just void in my head filled with hot live wires that just, there was arcing and I could hear them ringing in my ears. And so I just kind of have to, you know, just make another noise so that the inside ringing goes away. So there's something outside, you know. I hope you didn't have to deal with that. I know that it's tough, and I don't... God, the dream just seems so real. I don't know how to explain it. Anyway. And then I just have to scream just to kind of get that feeling out and reset the mind, because the mind is right next to these live wires. It's a big electric rat's nest, and it just wouldn't stop. But the pain meds helped. I can at least float away for a while and be off to the side, be out in front of the pain. I can look in my rear view, and pain's catching up. But for now, I can look around. You know, the high contrast of white pain and black fear has subsided, and I can actually see colors. I can see trees swaying in the wind, and I can just rest. That's nice. I had dreams that I was with you, and we were, and I was chasing you. And anyway, God bless that poppy, Gramp. I gotta say, if that's how we can get here. I know, you know, it's a Lotus Eater's pursuit, but damn, it hits the spot. I like being out here with you, you know. But it is cold. What the hell? You should put on a jacket or something. You're going to catch your death of cold, man. So, hey, Gramp. Didn't you already die? Didn't you die when I was a probie about 7 years ago? So, what am I doing out here with you? You're freaking me.
out now. No, I know, and I don't know what else to say. It's not like you to freak me out like this. And so did I die? Is that what this is? Because this, I did not expect it to look like this. It's a hell of a lot darker than heaven, and I know at least you are going to heaven. So, I don't know what this star field is that we're in. But, I just didn't want to let go of everything right away. I didn't even know I was here. I mean, I know I went in for something, and I just thought I was dreaming. What can I do now? I mean, boy, you're saying some crazy far out stuff, man. That's not, well, actually, it is kind of like you. You actually told me you saw Bigfoot when you were hunting in Montana. But you weren't the spiritual kind of guy. Is it just, that's it? I'm out? I'm out of there? And then we just, what? I just run? I can run with you? Because that wouldn't be so bad. That wouldn't be so bad. I just worry about the family back home, you know, because they can't take this right now, you know. I know, and I still want to get mine going. All right, so I want to live. I want to live. What do I have to do? Really? I got to go back into that, huh? I thought I lost that pain. I thought I took a right and he took a left and then that was it. And I lost him back there, see? No, I'm not funny. It's not funny, but it's funny because it's going to suck. That's what is happening. Okay. Okay. So I just got to flip around and go back, huh? Well, that's a good point. I do. What are you going to do in the meantime? We got nobody out here? Do you got anybody else? All right. I miss you. Then I'll see you then. Then I'll be back then. What are you going to do in the meantime? Over the mountain, really? The Poe? You are out there. Boy, I forgot the whole Poe thing that you did when you were in World War II. Hey, I love you. Thank you. Okay. All right, any second now, I'll go back. Any second now. Any second. Hole, or The End of the Race, by Kenneth Allen. Is this thing on? Can you hear me? This is Terry Gardner, just bringing you the latest on the hive epidemic. As you know, in Rio County, we have been infected by the hive drug or epidemic or virus or whatever you want to call it. And I'm sending this out as a broadcast message to all who can hear it over the internet. The drug is called Hive or Hole. Hole either meaning like all together or whole because people that take the drug
fall through a hole, they say, of all holes, and see through all afterwards. So let me explain. The drug is a hallucinogen. It also has some stimulant properties to it. Causes feelings of euphoria, blissfulness, inactivity. But some of the other side effects are, and these are disputed only by those who have not taken it, a hive mind, a hive mentality. You can speak with those who have taken the drug. This drug is a prion. It's from the same kind of chemical that mad cow disease derives from. It's not a bacteria. It's not a virus. It's more like a protein that folds into your DNA and replicates itself. It can't be boiled or incinerated. It can't be frozen. It exists always. And as soon as it's ingested, it activates. There's no going back with Hive. You can't change it. There's no way to cure it. People that take it state that they can speak with each other without speaking by sending thoughts, either imagery or sounds. Some will speak only with their mouths closed. And people are able to communicate. They're able to show this in studies while there were still studies being done. Even more so, they state that once you have taken Hive, you step out of temporality. You step out of time and space, and you're in all time and all spaces at once. Meaning there is no dimension of time anymore. This fits partially with the ability to be hive-minded with others because you can know everything at once. But also, for some reason, you're able to follow outcomes infinitely. Because of this, there's an inactivity in these people to make any change, to do anything, but rather sit back and watch. And they watch as one, as events fold out in front of them. And they sit like this until they waste away, or they'll slowly nurse themselves and just watch the show. I don't know why you would do that, although I have watched movies a few times before, over and over again, and maybe it's like that. However, they will literally be standing there and step out of the way just as someone steps into the street and gets hit by a car. And they state, it was always meant to happen. We were just here to watch. There's a certain disdainful apathy that they show to everyone. As you walk into a room, you'll see them all stare at you or be watching as you come through the door. And then all at once, dozens of them begin laughing, and they stop immediately after that, or they all start crying, and they stop on a dime. It's terrifying. It's terrifying. And now everyone from about 16 to 60 seems to be showing up in Rio with this disease. I don't know how to stop it. What's more is I think I have it. They say there's a certain ringing kind of twinging sound, like high metal tin sound when you start getting ingested into this drug chemical. I've heard it, and it comes on a loop every few minutes. I'm not sure what that means, but it feels like I'm able to now start to see through folded space, as if I'm a window. And I can see the past, and all I do is shift my attention to the future, and I can see forward. But it's all a meadow. It's all a plane. I can describe that plane. The question is, can I get to that plane and change it? It seems like no one else wants to do that. But I've been a caregiver my whole life, and all I want to do is fix what will happen. And I think I can get there to do it, but I'm not sure. Just this feeling of urgency I have to use to fight against the blissfulness that starts to take over in my head, the feeling of eventuality, the feeling of all is well, you don't have to do anything. That whispers in my head that someone else will do something to fix this. That feeling that it's all going to happen anyway, so why not sit back and watch? Feeling has to be stopped in my head. Otherwise, why am I here? Let me explain what it feels like. I can look at something and watch this person move through all planes simultaneously to a destination, but even that destination is just still part of the path. You don't think you know how to do this, but you do. Think about if someone throws a ball to you. You know that given a certain amount of energy and a certain trajectory, that you can stand in a certain spot and catch that ball. That is an atemporal ability. There are some minor temporal factors to it. You have to wait until the ball's been thrown and analyze it, but you knew it was going to happen because you went outside to play catch. So you have to understand, it is like that. It's just an extrapolation of your own abilities to look into the future. It's just further calculations that are going on. It's like an electron. If you're looking at a TV screen with the static on there, those are all billions of electrons hitting that thing every second. And we think that's chaotic. But really, you could trace back every one of those electrons and follow its path back to its star or its flashlight or wherever it was excited to go towards that TV. And that's a complete story. Even though it hits in a seemingly chaotic fashion on the screen, it is not. There has been a trajectory for that electron to get there at that moment at precisely that spot. If you follow these thinking parameters, you can follow things out. Now everyone asks, then why the hell do I think that I can change any of that? Because I have. I was able to stop Penny Greer, age 7, from stepping out from the sidewalk to the car. And I saw her dying 2 days before. I was able to make it to Moorhead, find her on the street corner, and I saw two possibilities occur. It was two flash moments, like the splitting of an atom, or like the, what do they call those, quirks that move instantaneously with each other. And as soon as I grabbed her and pulled her back, the other one disappeared like a thought in my head and disappeared forever. And at that moment, Penny Greer was alive and had always been alive. We can make differences if our energy, if our electrons in our body, we know that once we observe or we put ourselves into the situation itself changes. I'm telling you out there, not because I want to sound crazy or because I want to scare you, because I don't want to, but I have to let you in on some things. In the latest reports, Rio County is not the only county that's been touched by this epidemic. In fact, people think that it's happening intentionally in other cities. They're putting it in the drinking water, or they're spraying it overhead. So you need to be aware of yourselves. Feel what you feel. And if you start to feel this feeling of apathy, or if you hear that tinkling, cringing noise in your head, fight against it. Do not fall into the blissfulness of it. That's apathy. And apathy will kill you. You won't be able to do anything. You will not be able to change your future. Feel the fear. Understand what it is. Fear is your brain telling you what it wants and what it doesn't want to happen so badly that it creates emotion to fight you away from that. feel that fear and use it to stay on track, to stay proactive, to fight against that and your death. Fuck death. Say it with me. Fuck death. Fuck apathy. Make a change. Step forward. You and your electrons and your body and mind will change the world. Don't fall for it. Don't let it get into your head. Don't let it weave into your brain fibers and say, all is well. All is not well. If we let this happen, no one fucks again. No one fights again. We need to start fucking and fighting. We need to keep us all alive. We need to care. Otherwise, it's the end of the race. In every sense of the word, it's the end of the race. So keep running. Keep fighting. Keep love alive. This is Terry. If you got this, hopefully you still can do this. Hopefully you can still fight forward. God's love on y'all.